There are only two types of software, good software and bad software. That's a quote from BEA's Patrick Linsky, made during the general session he presented at Java One. In part two of this three-part podcast, Linsky, with Bill Roth, talks about how standards drive innovation. They make a pitch for blended development, combining open source with commercial tools, platforms, and application frameworks. This is podtech.net.
Another headline that we were looking at earlier is standards. Is there really one standard that is the one best standard out there that everyone must use and must conform to? Or the opposite viewpoint is that there are too many standards and we shouldn't use any of them. It's too confusing, just write your own code and deal with it on your own and we can figure it all out. Well, the truth of the matter is that there are a lot of standards, and the way to decide which ones are which and which ones are important is to understand where they come from. Because standards aren't just there as things that you must consume. There are lots of people in this room right now who have worked on standards bodies, who are working on standards bodies. They're made by developers just like you and me. And the interesting thing about them is that they're usually made by developers who work for a vendor. So, do us all a favor and join a standards body as an individual, and that will certainly help maintain a developer focus and a diverse focus on what goes into a standard. But the fact of the matter is that the people who have time to implement and work on these standards are usually working for a company that will then turn that into some type of a product. So sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's a good vendor, sometimes it's a bad vendor. Sometimes it's good developers, sometimes it's bad developers, et cetera. But the key thing is that when you're looking at standards, they're coming from people who are designing them for a reason. And why do vendors develop standards? Well, let's look at bicycles. Bicycles all conform to certain standards, right? They all have similar wheel sizes so that you can interchange different wheels because a single bike vendor doesn't make every desirable type of wheel. They also have this cool convention, which is that when you squeeze the left lever, the front wheel slows down. And when you squeeze the right lever, the rear wheel slows down. And that's a good thing, because if you couldn't rely on that, you'd see people flipping over all the time in the streets. No one would bike if they couldn't rely on certain basic things like being able to buy new parts and being able to use the bike and ride it and slow it down. So it's in the bicycle vendor's best interest to make sure that there are standards that do these things. On this slide, I have three different types of bikes. There's a mountain bike, there's a track bike, and a road bike. Well, they're usable for three different purposes. I would never take my road bike out in Marin on the trails out there because I would destroy it. I would also never take my mountain bike out on a road race because I'd do even worse than I would do otherwise. So no way I would want to do that. I want to give myself every advantage I have in these environments. Standards enable people to innovate. Standards let people differentiate their products. They let vendors make products that are different but are usable by the same group of people. They let the same person, me, ride my mountain bike or my road bike without having to flip over and hurt myself or get confused or have to use a different pump, et cetera, et cetera. They also demand that vendors continue to innovate. So in addition to enabling innovation, they also demand it, because a application server vendor, if we sit there and just say, all we're going to do is implement the spec, if it's not in the spec, we don't need to worry about it, we just want to get the checkbox, people are going to use something else. People are going to go somewhere else. So standards basically define middleware. Middleware would be nowhere without standards. The whole concept of middleware is dependent on the existence of standards so that developers can be coding against something and then choosing. JMS, for example. JMS implementations can be vastly different in the way that they deliver messages, the way they're tuned for message delivering, things like that. But yet, all you as a developer are saying is, I want to deliver this message to this queue, and it's a very easy abstraction. And then what happens under the covers of how it's done, that's a choice you get to make at deploy time. So it's kind of like choosing which bike you're going to go out riding on a given day. At BEA, we're really all about standards. BEA has always been a standards-driven organization. I mean, look at WebLogic. I don't know how many of you remember the Kona JDBC days. Back even before JDBC was a standard, WebLogic was working to define those things. EJB, Java EE5, and the previous versions. BEA has been involved in that across the board. We're very active in that still, but we also see that the JCP isn't the only place that innovation happens. It's not the only place that standards happen. There's stuff that happens elsewhere in the community too. We're working with a couple different vendors in this space on the service component architecture, SCA specification. It's all about how do you assemble your applications in a meaningful and useful way. That's not even backed by any standard body at all, but there's just a bunch of companies that think it's a good idea. That's great. We think we can deliver value to our clients with it. We work with a bunch of the web services specifications to find the places we think deliver value to our clients and make sure that those standards are going the right way and that we implement them. And then what we do is we compete on quality. We then make the best implementation of those standards. So we're perfectly happy to collaborate on the standards with our competition and then just beat them when it comes to the implementation. That's the history of BEA right there. We also think that innovation comes from a lot of different places, and we need to make sure that we're in touch with all the different sources of innovation, not just standards bodies, but also, Apache doesn't make standards, but they do make cool products and innovation. So that's a place we stay involved with too, and just other vendors even, like with the SCA stuff. Another thing that you'll hear people say, a common meme out there, is that open source wins. That we should all go work for the county, and it's done. Why not just find some other career path somewhere? Commercial software is dead. Well, that's just not the case. The problem is that people often look at this the open source / closed source dilemma as an either or. You're either an open source solution or a closed source solution. I'm going to choose either an open source stack or a commercial stack. It's not really that simple in our opinion. This is what BEA's kind of blended messaging is all about, is that we can find interesting and important things in a lot of different environments and put them together to deliver a solution that is best of breed. What we do as a company is deliver best of breed solutions. So it's all we need to do is look around for them and find them and then incorporate them into our full technology stack, whether that comes from inside our company or outside our company. We really look at this in three different areas: development tools, what development tools to support, how to extend them, what other tools to support via them; application frameworks, meaning the interfaces or the contracts that you use when you're writing code; and deployment platforms. Where are you deploying to? WebLogic Server, Tomcat, a standalone main program, what have you. From your standpoint, what this means to you really is. Find good software. And what I mean by good is software that meets your needs, software that does what you need to do, wherever it's coming from. So Rod Johnson from the Interface 21, the Spring framework, has a really great quote about this, which is that there are only two types of software, good software and bad software. And that's really the key. It doesn't matter what the license is. Well, license might matter for your business needs, but the license is a prescription of what's involved in that software. It's not how the software itself works. The key thing is getting software that's important and useful to your application wherever it comes from. Basically, work smarter, not harder. Find the right thing and use it. And that's what we're trying to do within BEA. We're really trying to do that within BEA. We're not just saying that that's kind of paying lip service to this as a marketing message. This is really how we implement stuff. I'm the team lead in charge of the EJB team at BEA, meaning that I'm involved in obviously the Kodo and OpenJPA and Java Persistence API stuff, but also the session meta messenger from Bean work. And this is how we've implemented things. On the OpenJPA side, this is based on Kodo 4.0. We've taken Kodo 4.0 and we're donating it to Apache as the OpenJPA project. I don't know how many of you guys have heard about that, but that's out there right now in the incubator. And what we're doing with that is we're then taking that and building WLS on WebLogic Server on top of that. Kodo and OpenJPA is the persistence provider inside the server. That's how Entity Beans get serviced inside WebLogic Server moving forward. Then in order to comply to the EJB 3 Java EE 5 specification, we need to do some work because our server 9.2 is a EJB 2 server, not an EJB 3 server. So we needed to do some work to address some of the new session meta messenger Vibean stuff. We looked at what we needed to do. We looked at what was out there. We said, well, Spring's doing a lot of this for us. Now, it doesn't do everything, though. It doesn't map up 100% to what was there. So we've actually been working with the Interface 21 team to build a plugin to Spring that delivers Java EE 5 JSR 250 annotation common annotation capabilities to Spring. So with this code, you can drop it into a Spring environment, and you can actually take your session means and message driven means and deploy them there. Or what we're doing with this code is that we're taking it and integrating it in with our server, plugging into the right hooks inside of our server, et cetera, and using that code to bind into the new services that we need to be providing for the EGB3 specification. So that's really cool, because that means that this code, we're making it available on the springframework.org website probably in the next sometime this week. You know, check next week on springframework.org for it. We've been working with directly with them on doing this, and we're making that available to anybody who's using Spring or anybody who's using anything that can emulate Spring, I guess. And you can use that in a testing environment, you can use that in your Spring deployment environment, wherever you want, and then take your code that's obeying those JSR 250 annotation rules and deploy it wherever you need to. And we're taking that and we're saying we're going to use that inside of our server as the way that we're going to implement our server as well. So this concept of finding the right code, and if it's not quite there, working with that community to build it into what we need and then deploy on it, that's how we're building our app server. And it's really very, it's been very successful for us so far. We're very happy with how that's gone. And if we can build our app server out of it, I think that it's certainly a good approach for you guys to take for your code as well. You know, being able to find the right solution and put it all together is a really useful thing to do.